After the breakup of the Brubeck Quartet, Paul and Dave remained good friends. Dave formed a series of new groups, including one that featured his sons, and he often invited Paul to join them on tour. With tape recorder rolling, John Snyder witnessed a rare musical moment during one of those tours.
And at the end of the set, Dave and Paul played a duet. And it was the first time in all those years of playing together that they played a duet together and recorded it.
We had done an album that was almost a duet, the old Jazz at Storyville, which was one of our favorite albums that we've ever done. And he wanted to try and recapture that. It was very much Paul's idea to do that duet album.
In 1976, Paul and Dave were reunited with Eugene Wright and Joe Morello for a special tour marking the quartet's 25th anniversary. It was one of the last tours Paul Desmond would make. Years of heavy drinking had taken their toll, and Paul suspected his liver might finally have lost the war with Scotch. He decided it was time to see a doctor.
After the test, they told him his liver was perfect, and I remember him saying, "The irony of it all. Why should my liver be perfect? What I've put it through."
Paul's lungs didn't fare as well. A lifelong heavy smoker, he was diagnosed with lung cancer. But even in ill health, Paul was determined to continue playing. Later that year, he performed with Dave and his sons at Lincoln Center in New York City.
He got the doctors to give him transfusions till he almost had new blood that day so he could go play that concert. And some of the doctors were backstage saying, "I don't see how he can even stand up, the condition he's in." But he wanted to play that concert. And that was the last concert he played.
We know he was hurting, and maybe one or two of the friends that knew the group knew he was hurting, but he played. His music didn't hurt.
Bassist Eugene Wright. Paul may have been losing his battle with cancer, but he never lost his desire to make beautiful music or his wonderful sense of humor. He approached death the same way he approached life, with a wryness that was pure Desmond. Jim Hall.
He was waking up from a nap one afternoon, and he looked across his bedroom, and he saw this sort of caped, hooded-looking figure sitting there in the semi-darkness. And he had this flash to Ingmar Bergman's Seventh Seal movie. And he said, "Okay, now that's the angel of death. I'm going to have to play chess with this guy to see if I die." It was Charles Mingus who had come to visit him and was sitting there waiting for Paul to wake up.
From February of 1977, Paul Desmond, sounding as lyrical as ever, on the Chet Baker album, You Can't Go Home Again. It would be his last recording session. On May 30th, Paul Desmond died at home in New York City. He had said he didn't want a service, so friends and fellow musicians got together at a recording studio and threw Paul a party.
And Jimmy Rolls played. B. Before he played, he said, Desmond and I used to argue about this chord change. So then Jimmy played the tune, and he got to this place in the tune, and he looked up and he said, take that, Desmond, in a little stronger language. And that was perfect. I mean, Paul would have loved that.
Indeed, as long as there's laughter, the spirit of Paul Desmond lives on. During his short but prolific career, he became one of the most celebrated saxophonists in jazz and left the world a legacy of great recordings. But as Doug Ramsey once wrote, never has there been a star less eager for the role. What mattered most to Paul Desmond was making beautiful music and having a good time doing it. And that he surely did.
If anybody wants to penetrate to the heart of what is beauty in music, Desmond was it. And I'll tell you something, this world is a lot better place because he once lived in it.
He was a beautiful man who was always intrigued and surprised and bemused by the world.
For some reason, I lucked out. I really did.
So did we, Paul. So did we. A tribute to the life and music of Paul Desmond was written and produced by Paul Connolly. Post-production engineers, Rima Snyder and Leo Dell'Aguila. Jazz Profiles is produced by Tim Owens. Assistant producer, Madeline Smith. Website coordinator, Patrick Breslin. The vice president for NPR's cultural programming is Murray Horwitz. Special thanks to NPR's New York Bureau, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, Vicki Rickman and Telarc Records, John Rogers and Fantasy Records, Gary Vercelli and member station KXJZ, Sacramento. Thanks also to Dan Gettiman, George Moore, Megan Corman, Jeff Howitt, and Jacob Kitzel. For more information or to email us, visit NPR's homepage on the World Wide Web at npr.org. That's npr.org. Major support for Jazz Profiles comes from the Lila Wallace Reader's Digest Fund, helping people to make the arts and culture an active part of their everyday lives. Additional support has been provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. I'm Nancy Wilson, and this is NPR, National Public Radio.